Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 18th through the 20th, 2018, at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 204, When You Can't Game with Friends. I want to welcome all of you new and longtime listeners alike to this episode of Wargaming Recon, and I want to let you know a couple things. First of all, I'm going to talk about a lot of different things in this episode. I don't expect you to remember them all, but don't worry, because we have the show notes. That's right. Chances are you're listening to this when you're at the gym, you're commuting to or from work, or you're painting, or you're doing other things. Don't expect you to be able to remember everything, but if you go to the show notes at wargamingrecon.com/WR204, that's wargamingrecon.com/WR204, you'll be able to find the things that I cover in this episode. You'll be able to find links, you'll be able to find ways to get in touch with us, all of that kind of stuff in one simple place. So I think you'll enjoy having that access. And if you're a longtime listener, you are familiar with that. And if you're new, you just learned something new for the day, right? So this episode kind of comes about from something I think that's impacted all of us at one point or another. And that is, we want to get out, right? We want to go. We want to play games. We want to meet up with our buddies. We want to play whatever that game or those games are that we really like. But maybe we can't. Maybe our schedules aren't matching. Maybe your friends are working late, or maybe you're spending extra time with your family. There's something causing this conflict where things just aren't lining up the way you'd hope they would, right? And as such, you're going into a gaming funk. You're having that period where maybe you're not gaming as much and you want to fix it. I have that kind of situation right now. So for those of you who have been listening to the show for a while, you might remember that a few episodes ago had mentioned that we had an episode coming up. There's one where we were going to be doing a review of the Perry Miniatures Travel Battle. We had done some stuff with it before and shared video unboxings and things like that through our video channels, but hadn't done a proper review. So Adrian, who is my buddy and co-host, and I were going to spend some time replaying the game, refreshing our memory, so that way we could actually have it right here in the forefront of our brains before we did that review. Because when we do a review, we want to make sure that we're thorough, that we give it its fair process and fair amount of time, but also that we don't base the review off of playing a game once. And now he and I played it a few times, and I played it even other times with other people, such as Alex, for example. But those have been a while ago. And so we really wanted to be like, okay, let's play it at least once or twice more frequently, so that we could have it there and be like, okay, yeah, this is something that we really liked, or that we didn't like, or that we found confusing, or things like that. And be able to make notations so that when we did record the episode, we could say, hey, you know what? Here's what we think about X, Y, and Z. Now, unfortunately, Adrian is out of the state because he's helping his dad, who's sick and in hospital. And as a result of that, he hasn't been able to be here for us to play some more Travel Battle and for us to then, of course, record the episode. That is a perfect example, right, of what to do when you can't game with friends. I'm not able to game with Adrian. What can I do? And I'm hoping to share some tips with you that you will find to be of use. I'm not guaranteeing that you're going to like all of them, that you're going to use them all, but I think there are at least some in there that will be helpful to you. And I know that I'm probably going to forget some or leave something out that maybe you find helpful. Now, if that's the case, please get in touch with us. Talk more about that near the end of the episode, but all the different social media methods or by going to the show notes, you will be able to find how to reach us and share your tips. And who knows, maybe your tips will make it into a future episode of Wargaming Recon. So the first tip that I have, if you're in this situation like I am, and I know that many of you are, this tip is to game remotely. Now you might be thinking, well, how am I going to game remotely? What does that entail? What should I do to game remotely? Am I just going to call them up on the phone? Like, what do I do? So this kind of goes way back, old school, to where you could play games by mail. And I think it actually has its roots more specifically in chess, so that you could have a friend who maybe lives in a different part of the country or a different continent than you. You'd have a chessboard set up and they would have a chessboard set up and they take white, you take black or whatever, and you'd write your movements out. So, you know, king's rook to blah, blah, blah from blah, blah, blah. And you'd send a little note and put that in there and you'd mail it to your buddy and your buddy would get it and be like, oh my goodness, look, I got the next move from my friend. And so they'd take it and read and go, this is what John is doing. So let's look here. And then they'd move the piece on their board and examine it and go, now what should I do? Should I move the pawn here? Should I move the knight there? Should I move a bishop? Or should I move a queen? What do I do? And they would look and really give some time to think about it and analyze the situation, right? And then they would write their turn and send it to you. And you'd be like, oh, Sally said they're going to do this. And then lo and behold, turn by turn. Took a long, long time, right? And even more update from that would be play by email. Same kind of thing where you'd send email messages back and forth. Useful for things like campaigns. So you might play a campaign of board games or miniatures. And you're going to move stuff here and there. You could, I suppose, do things like role-playing games this way, but it might be a little bit harder. But even more updated with technology would be to use something like YouTube Live or a Google Hangout on Air, where you can connect with your friends and game over the internet. So you would need a webcam and you would have that set up in front of you and you'd connect and dial in. And I say dial, but no one really dials in anymore. You connect to the internet and to the game and all the other people could be there. And this way, no one has to be in the same place, right? So I actually know a guy who's in one country and he games with his old gaming group, which is in another country, and they meet up, and they synchronize their watches, and they get things all set. And on that designated night and time, they all connect, and they play, I believe, D&D. So they're playing some Dungeons & Dragons, and they do that for a few hours or whatever, and then it's done, and they move on. You could do this with other games, like board games. You might want to do 1775, or maybe you want to do Scythe, or pick a game. You do that again, you'd have the map, you'd have a board, you'd have something set up so people can see. You could even do a more advanced version, right? Using a virtual tabletop, something like Roll20 or Fantasy Grounds. Now, these are really designed for role-playing games more than board games or minis or anything like that. But what they do is they give you a virtual tabletop. So you get this virtual tabletop on your screen, on your computer. And Roll20, I believe, is free. Fantasy Grounds, I think you got to pay, although I think it has a free version or free account, a free level as well. And so you can do that. And then they give you different access to things. But one of the benefits of this is you have that shared tabletop. And with that, you also have extra tools and resources for the game master, for the dungeon master, who can then use these to allow them to more smoothly and efficiently run the game. So that way you can focus more on the game and not on the tech. Because if you're gaming and you're gaming this way, you want your time together to be about the game. You want to be playing the game. You do not want to be troubleshooting tech problems. Be like, well, my webcam won't connect. The dice isn't rolling and the system's crashing and this. You don't want to deal with that. You want to game. The purpose is to game, not to deal with the technology. The technology needs to be the tool with which you are able to game. It needs to not be the focus of the event. So the GM has all these other tools that allow them to run the game. And they are able to do things like show players only what the player would need to see in the game. So if you're in a dungeon and you're traveling down a corridor, you can see the corridor. You wouldn't see the whole dungeon layout, revealing all the secrets and everything. And people have done this in a more analog way by hiding a map, or maybe not drawing it out on a dry erase map, or if they use 3D terrain, like Dwarven Forge, for example, they'll put a black cloth on top, so that way you can't see, and they slowly reveal portions here and there. This is a digital version of that, so that you can do that. Now, for players, it's nice because you get access to resources. So they have licensed products, such as Dungeons & Dragons, for example, and they have others. I'm not just focusing on D&D, but they do have other role-playing games that are licensed. And then you can get access to like source books and stat guides and spell information and all that kind of stuff. And character building, I believe, as well. So if you want to build a barbarian character and say, I'm going to construct Conan the Barbarian, and you construct your Conan the Barbarian guy, you can get resources from that all digitally. So you don't have to worry about getting all this other stuff. Now, with something like Fantasy Grounds, I do believe that you might need to actually buy digital versions of the product. And I talked a little bit about this with James Carpio, who I'm hoping to get on the show in the future. He is over at TSR Games, and TSR is actually working on doing some digital or virtual tabletop experiences with their product. So they have Top Secret, which is a spy role-playing game that's just come out. They kickstarted that very successfully. And The Hunt is being redone, and they have some other products coming out, including James's Own World. And they're really trying to find a way to generate funds. And this is going to sound awful, but they need to generate money from doing it. So yeah, you might buy the physical book, but they know if you're playing digitally, maybe you didn't get the physical book. So this way you buy a digital version of the book, the player's handbook, the monster's guide, the DM guide, the whatever adventure. And you get that all digitally, and then it'll be loaded into these things like Roll20 or Fantasy Grounds. So that will allow you to game remotely, and you can do any variety of this. Whether you want to do, you could do the old-fashioned way, play by mail. You could do play by email. You could, I guess you could do play by phone or play by text. Now that would be interesting. You take a picture, you text it to your buddies. This is what my map looks like now. You could do YouTube Live / Google Hangout on Air. I know many, many, many people do this, and they'll mock up their own kind of virtual tabletops for war games, where they'll create, like in the olden days, it'd be MS Paint, but they'll create, say, in Photoshop or whatever, a digital version of a forest or a hill, and that gets plopped down on the virtual tabletop. And you can actually, they have computer software that you can get via Steam, I believe. You buy, you load it onto your computer, and that does that kind of stuff that people do use for more wargaming and less role-playing game kind of things. So you can do that sort of stuff. So that is the first tip that I have. You can game remotely. Now, before I get into the second tip, I do want to say that not too long ago, I was at TotalCon, which is, well, we talked about it. We had a whole TotalCon episode, but it's a tabletop gaming convention, the largest tabletop gaming convention in New England. And while there, I heard numerous gamers, including game designers, speak about the fact that they don't get to game as often as they would like, and that some of them, for the only times they ever get to game, are at conventions like TotalCon, which I think is probably true for more of us than we would care to admit. And I also think it's kind of sad, to be honest. And not like, oh, look at that sad person, but like, it's sad that their lives are so busy, all of our lives are so busy, that this is something we enjoy doing, we're just not able to do it. So some of these tips, I think, might also be able to be reclassified, not only as tips for what to do when you can't game with friends, but also tips to help you game more often, right? So this second tip would be to find a new group of gamers. Now, I am not, I repeat, I am not telling you to ditch your pals, the people you've been gaming with for such a long time. I'm not telling you to do that. Do not do that. Just trust me on this. Just, I don't care how busy they are. I don't care how busy you are. I don't care how difficult it is for your schedule to mesh. Just don't ignore them. But maybe it is time for you to find some new gamers who have schedules that do more closely resemble your own. You can do that in a variety of ways. And I know it seems like a daunting topic. How am I going to find new gamers who are going to play what I want to play? It's hard enough for me to find the group I have right now. How often am I going to be able to find someone who really wants to do a bunch of tabletop wargaming with Zulu or with insert whatever here? No one really likes doing 2mm skill, but these people. Okay, I understand. Really, I do. But maybe this new group of gamers that you can find, maybe they might also be pretty cool. And maybe they might also play things that you like. You can find them by going to your local game store or game club. A lot of game stores, at least here in New England, they'll have, say, a calendar online. It'll say, like, you know, on Friday nights, they play Friday Night Magic. Wednesdays or Thursdays are D&D, and Saturdays are open gaming or minis, or they do board games on another night or whatever. So you can look there, and you can pop into the game store and maybe bring some games that you have that you're hoping to play with others. Or you could just go and not bring anything and see if anyone has stuff that might be of interest to you and hang out there. Talk to the employees, talk to the store owner and see what kind of crowd they get, see what they play, and show up during these open gaming or the designated gaming days, whether it's something like a board game night, whether it's a D&D night, whether it's a role-playing game night, whatever, any of that kind of stuff. Show up then, and maybe you'll find some people there who are obviously already gamers because they're there. Maybe some of them will be people with whom you'll click, and you'll have this new group or even one other person who wants a game with you. If you don't want to go and just go to the game store, you could do something like going to a meetup. So I believe it's meetup.com. You can go online and you can search, and they do meetups for all sorts of things. Whether you like to go to wine tastings, you like to take harbor cruises, you like to do cross-country skiing, you like to play games. There's groups for all of that. So you can search by your area. So it really focuses on your geolocation, and you can go and see, okay, what kind of groups are there? And dollars to donuts, you're going to find at least board game groups. I don't know how many you'll find. I don't know how many other types of groups you'll find regarding other types of games, whether you're really into video games or computer games or role-playing games or war games. But look, and if there's not a group that matches what you like, create one. Because maybe there will be people who are interested in what you're interested in. So best scenario, you find a group there. Go and go to the meetup. They'll tell you where it's going to be, when it's going to be. We're meeting up at the local Starbucks to play Catan. We're going to the local library to play Warhammer 40K. We're going to the, you get the point, right? Go there and see if you click. It's kind of like dating in a way, but instead of finding a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you're finding other friends to game with. Now, maybe you don't really mesh. Maybe you just, it doesn't connect, right? The first time you go. Go a second time. Try a different group. Trust me, eventually you will most likely find someone. You could also post on social media. Facebook, for example, has lots of Facebook groups for just about every type of gaming you could imagine. Go to the Facebook groups. Ask if there's anyone in your area. Ask if they're playing. You might even have a group that you don't know about on Facebook, for example, for the city or town or municipality in which you live. So you can go there. And this might be a longer shot, right? Because that'll just be people who live there or people who work there or people who like that location. Not necessarily gamers, but you can still post it. Does anyone play Flames of War? Is anyone really into Black Powder? Is anyone and you can connect with people that way. You might have more luck than you think. So that's tip number two. Tip number one, of course, was to game remotely. And tip number two is to find a new group of gamers. Now, the third tip might sound a little unusual, okay? The third tip is to play a different game. I already hear you. I know what you're thinking. I don't want to play a different game. I like the game that I play. I've spent a lot of time working on the skill and getting everything all lined up to do just what I want to do and what these other people like to do. Why would I want to do something else? Well, I understand. Change is hard. I know it. But really, you're not a one-trick pony. I know you're not. Yes, you might really love doing 15 millimeter Napoleonics, right? But I bet you also like playing other things, right? Maybe you really like playing board games. Maybe you found you have a strong love for Euro games. You have a desire to play party games. Maybe you want to do World War II skirmish games. Maybe you really want to get into sci-fi fantasy and Age of Sigmar, or Kings of War really tickles your fancy. Pivot to another game that you like, because it's a game you like. And I know, yes, I know you really love 15 millimeter Napoleonics, but I know that there are other games you like. I know it. You might not want to admit it, but you do. I know you do, because I'm the same way too, right? We have this in common, us gamers. We have that one or maybe a very select few games or types of games that we just adore. We want to play over and over and over and over and over again. But there's other games that we like. Now, I don't mean like games like, oh, if I have to play it. Like games that you like, that you enjoy, that make you happy. Play those. If you can't game in person, whether it's this other game or just any game, try video games. Try computer games. I get a lot of my gaming done through playing computer games. So I use Steam, I use Origins because I like The Sims, SimCity. I do a lot of simulation games, Prison Architect, Game Dev Tycoon, DEF CON. I do a lot of different types of games, right? And I play them during my lunch break. And I talked about this ages ago in a different episode about how to fit gaming in while being a gamer dad or a gamer mom, a gamer parent. Let's be more inclusive, right? Gaming during my lunch break is a way that I can do it. I'm not going to be able to play a game. I don't care how small it is. Well, maybe Travel Battle. But I'm not going to be able to play a minis game during my lunch time. Because bringing all the stuff, finding a location, finding someone to play, it's not going to happen, right? Gaming electronically can be the answer. And you can have a lot of fun doing it. If you like those kind of grand scale, you can do the Total War line of games. They have ones for just about any period you like. They're actually doing ancient China, feudal China coming up. And they've done Japan. They've done ancient Rome, the Napoleonics. They've done modern, well, not modern as you and I would think, like modern gaming, but like philosophically modern. So like 1900s, sort of 1800s rather, sort of stuff at the newest end. On back with the Age of Black Powder sort of stuff. They've done fantasy because they've done Warhammer, which is amazing. It's probably my favorite. Really is my favorite of the Total War games just because of how well they've done it out. It's quite intriguing. If you can do any of those, there's other ones, Crusader Kings. And I mean, you can look. If you use something like Steam and you start rating a couple games, it'll tell you, like, we think you like this, we think you like that. It's doing the Amazon method of really trying to push what they think you might like. One thing I really love about Steam and why I'm going to strongly suggest it if you're thinking about doing computer games, you can buy a game, and if you don't like it, you can return it for full money. You open up a little help ticket, you say you return it and you didn't like it. They have some criteria. Basically, you can't have played it for like a gazillion hours. You can play it for a few hours, I think. But you can pick stuff. The game lagged. It didn't do this. My computer doesn't work as well. It wasn't fun. It wasn't what I thought it was. I bought it by accident. Things like that. You submit it. And then a short time later, the Steam customer support people end up invariably sending an email. refund coming, and you can choose whether you want it to go to your like Steam wallet is what they call it. Basically, you can kind of have like an account with them where you can store money that you then spend, or you can go back to your original form of payment, which will be like a credit card, kind of debit card. So you can do that. So really, it's a chance to try a game that maybe you wouldn't try before without really having to worry about there being a lot of risk involved. So it's a pretty good no risk or low risk situation. If you're a board gamer, a lot of board games have apps so that you can game electronically. You can get those apps and download them onto your tablets and your smartphones and your mobile devices. I happen to know one game designer, Ben Gerber. He's been on the show. We've talked about some of his board games. And his wife likes to play board games. His two daughters like to play board games. He loves to play board games. You would think they play a lot of board games. They don't. He told me he plays more board games, which is his thing, right? He plays more board games digitally than anything else because he'll buy the app for Carcassonne or for whatever game. Pick a game, right? He'll download the app, put it on his phone. He'll play while he's commuting to work. Don't do it if you're driving. But if you're like on the train or you're carpooling and you're a passenger, you can totally do that. You're at your lunch break. You're in bed kind of winding down for the night. Follow it out and play a quick round of whatever game. They're really well done. Look at the reviews. Maybe you really want to play Agricola or whatever. You can play it this way. And you can kind of get that done. One of the neat things is, yes, you can play against a computer, but you can also, I believe, for many of them, play against other people, people you've never met, who just also downloaded the app and want to play. And so it's kind of like this long-distance multiplayer sort of thing, which is kind of nice. So you don't always have to be like, oh, I'm playing against the computer. I know what the AI is like, so I do this, I do that, and then blah, blah, blah. I win! Kind of like old-school Axis and Allies, right? In that, like, you had to do certain moves at certain points to really have any chance of winning. But people are unpredictable. And actually, the AI on these things are actually pretty good, too, from what I understand. So that's something you can think about. Play a different game is the third tip. So tip one, game remotely. Tip two, find a new group of gamers. And tip three, play a different game. Now, maybe those just none of them work for you. You've tried them and they're like, ah, you throw your hands up in disgust or a table flip like Francis. And it's just, it didn't tickle your fancy. Depending on what type of game that you like to play, the hobby is actually much larger, right? It's not just playing the game. You could, for tip number four, use other aspects of the hobby. Maybe instead of being frustrated or disappointed or sad that you're not able to game with your buddies, maybe you could assemble and paint some miniatures. Maybe you could build some terrain. Maybe you could read rule books, books for games that maybe you bought the rules and you said, someday I'm going to play that. And you never read it, so you can read them, learn how to play, and then teach someone else at a later point. Be like, Fire and Furry Brigade, I really want to do. I've never played Flames of War, but I got those rule books and I want to. You get the point. You could research histories. Now, if you're not really doing a history or a war game, so to speak, you might find like histories, that's not going to be applicable to me. Let's turn it on its head. If you like pulp gaming, maybe you need to watch some pulp films. If you like sci-fi fantasy, maybe you should read Starship Troopers. Maybe you should watch some Star Wars. Maybe you should watch some Star Trek. Dig into Blade Runner. That, to me, is the same as kind of researching the histories. You're researching the setting, the place, the time. You're researching the universe in which it inhabits. So if you've never read The Dragon Riders of Pern, and you're like, I really want to do a nice fantasy setting with dragons, and that's what I want to game in, pick up Dragon Riders of Pern and give it a read. You can watch how-to videos. YouTube has tons of those, right? So whether they are videos for how to paint, how to assemble, how to make terrain, they could be videos for anything else. And actually, speaking of how-to videos, you could also watch actual play videos. YouTube has tons of these. So people are playing games I know, might seem dumb to some of us, and I was not an easy convert to this, but I love seeing people play games. And they do, most of them actually, do a really good job of it. Gives you a chance to also kind of try out a new game, maybe, that you haven't bought and you don't want to spend the time on. So you can get it this way and see what someone else does with it. I want to strongly recommend a YouTube channel called Tassels Plays. It is done by friend of the show, Jay Libby. His daughter is Tassels, and she does this amazing job where she plays electronic games, computer games. And there's a whole suite of them. They're like zombiehunter.io, monster.io, blah, 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 .io. There are a lot of them. So they're web-based games, and she'll play the game. She puts that up, and then some of them she interacts and talks with. So you'll see like a little picture, like a picture in picture kind of square in there where she's reflecting on it and making funny quips and conversation. Others, she'll actually do like textual overlay where she'll just have funny things to say and you'll just see the text appear on the screen. There's music. There's really good production quality there. And she recently just reached over, actually. She surpassed 200 subscriptions for her YouTube channel. So big shout out to that. And really, if you think you might be interested at all, you need to check it out. So we'll have a link in the show notes, of course, to Tassels Plays. But there are a lot of these. So whether you want to do video games, board games, card games, minis, whatever, you can find them on there. It doesn't have to be on YouTube, but YouTube, of course, is a large repository of that. You could listen to gaming podcasts like Wargaming Recon. there's other ones out there, of course, other good ones as well. But you could get your gaming fix by listening to a gaming podcast. You could spend time building army lists, thinking, well, how am I really going to get the best use of points for my Warhammer 40K army, for my Flames of War army, for my Bolt Action army, for my insert other game here army? Maybe you could write some blog posts. If you don't have a blog, you could start one, but you could talk about the gaming that you do or that you'd like to do. You might find others would be interested in that. A lot of different things right here under using other aspects of the hobby, and I'm sure I've left some of them out. I really am sure that I have. But those are just a few of the other aspects that you could do. Assemble and painted miniatures, build terrain, build rule books, watch how-to videos, read, research the period, the setting, the game, build army lists, listen to gaming podcasts, write blog posts, and so forth. So those are four tips so far, right? So first we covered gaming remotely. Then we covered for number two, finding a new group of gamers. Number three was to play a different game. And number four, use other aspects of the hobby. So number five is something that might sound a little different. And it is one that I refer to as spending time with other friends or family members. Now, maybe you had previously been spending a lot of time gaming, so hanging out with your gaming friends. But I bet you have friends who don't game. I bet you have family members who don't game. You could spend more time with your significant other or with your friends and your family, maybe connect with that buddy who you haven't spoken to in a long time. It's a chance to do that. You could maybe do some chores that you haven't been doing, you've been kind of putting off. Maybe having vacuumed that floor for a while and you really should, or there's some other project that you really needed to be doing and it just kind of fell by the wayside. So you could use this as a chance to do that. You could catch up on a TV series or a movie or a book and maybe talk about that with someone else. Maybe go to a book club or talk about and share it with some loved ones in your lives. It's a chance that you can do something a little bit different. So it might not necessarily fill and take care of that gaming itch, but it'll allow you to do something that you weren't doing before so that you're not just sitting there twiddling your thumbs going, oh, I wish I was gaming. I wish so-and-so could game with me because I really want a game. You wouldn't be doing that. You'd actually be productive. You'd be taking care of other connections in your life, which are very important to do because we can't game all the time. I don't care how much we want to, how much joy and happiness it brings us. Other things make us happy too, We have other responsibilities. So you could do other things. So that's number five, spend time with other family members and other friends. So to recap all of them, number one is to game remotely. Number two is to find a new group of gamers. Number three is to play a different game. Number four, use other aspects of the hobby. And number five is to spend time with other friends and family members. I have something to admit to all of you. I previously recorded this episode, and I wasn't happy with the sound quality of it. And when I was thinking about the sound quality and looking at it and trying to examine what had gone wrong with it and why it wasn't really up to my standards, I realized that I was also solving a problem that existed with two other episodes that we released earlier in 2018 that some listeners had commented and said, hey, there's some weird clipping going on there and other issues, and Joshua is going to take care of those. But I realized the real reason why that was happening was at the time I thought it was just that maybe I was editing it weird because I had edited those and Joshua hadn't, and he's not editing this one because, well, we'll get to that in a minute. But I was like, that's what I originally thought. And then I thought some more about it. I realized I recorded them a different way than I normally do. And in recording them this other way, the software I was using was actually not keeping up with me. So I was recording and having a grand old time saying, and this is what you do, and here's another tip, and this could be useful, and how about that? And I was talking and talking and talking, and the software wasn't as speedy as I was. And as such, I would say things like, you know, this is a really cool chance to use a virtual tabletop, something like Roll 20 or, and the software would be here, this is a really neat time to use a op, like Roll 20 or, and so it would cut. And I listened actually, I originally recorded it the night before I'm recording this, and I listened when I was in bed, and I'm like, wait a sec, why is it doing that? So I thought maybe I had done some weird editing on it, and I went back to the original recording that was unadulterated. And I listened to that several times, same spots, same sections. I said, wait a sec, it was doing this. And I did some research and found out I apparently have to change some settings, something I had never had to do before with that software. So I redid it. And I was like, well, I realized that when I don't have a guest on or if a co-host isn't coming on, and I just kind of wanted to take the easier way, the simpler way, I guess, of recording an episode where I don't record it live and I'm just kind of getting the audio and go out. I was using this piece of software, and it must have been doing the same thing then for those two other episodes that people had audio quality problems. So Josh is still going to look at them and see what he can do. But if the original audio, as I suspect, is having that issue, then lo and behold. So hopefully moving forward using that other method, I will have smoother things out so it won't reproduce itself. This episode shouldn't have any of that because I'm recording it the way that we normally record, and that should take care of things. Moving to Joshua, the reason why he's not editing this one, so it might sound a little different for all of you, it's a situation that maybe most of us aren't aware. He lives down under, and in the region of Australia in which he lives, they've had a lot of really bad wildfires going on. I know a lot of listeners are from the U.S., so probably more familiar with the California wildfires that we've had in 2017/2018. It's not as bad as that, but like, he got evacuated from his home. A lot of people in his area did, and he just got let back in not too long ago. So they're trying to like still recover from that. A lot of his neighbors and other people in that area are also trying to recover. Last thing he needed was to get me sending him an audio file saying, hey, Josh, can you make sure you get this edited for us to send out in time? So that's why it's all me, which goes back to why I thought I didn't realize I had the problem, but I think I solved that other problem. So that's what's going on with Joshua for this episode. Let's switch gears and just go to another topic to talk about a little bit briefly, which is our first ever survey of Wargaming Recon listeners. So we have never surveyed any of you, and I've relied on feedback, things that you post on social media, emails that you send, things of that sort, stuff you say to me in person if you see me at events or whatever. And the idea from this is not my own. I have to give credit to Mike Payne. Way back, had shared some feedback with him, and it was kind of like, what kind of topics were we doing that people liked and disliked? And I shared that, you know, there was a particular topic that people didn't seem to like. And he thought that was really odd that they didn't seem to like it. And he was like, are you sure? And he had suggested that maybe the feedback I was getting wasn't representative enough. And he thought a survey would be a great way to go. And I was like, you know, survey is a good idea. And then I did nothing about it. That was all on me. And so lo and behold, I finally got myself in gear and created the survey. And the survey is asking, really, the main question it's asking you, yes, you, is what you would like the show to talk about. We're also trying to find more about your listening habits, what other podcasts you like, how often you listen to Wargaming Recon, how long you think the episode should be, things of that sort. You can take the survey by going to wargamingrecon.com/survey. Really easy, right? wargamingrecon.com/survey. And there are only 10 questions. It'll take you 3 minutes of your time. Responses are as anonymous as they can be when anything happens on the internet. We don't really care about linking answers to individuals. So if you're like, Wargaming Recon is a terrible show, and we think that Jonathan Guy shouldn't talk as much, and he should have everyone else talk more often, I'm not going to know that it was you who said it. And honestly, I don't care. I want to know what you think about the show. And I'm hoping that by you taking the survey and then also sharing it with others who might listen to the show and will take the survey, that we'll be able to get a larger sample size. That in as much as we say, okay, send an email to jonathan@wargamingrecon.com or comment on social media or send us an email or this and that, it's actually a higher bar of entry to get into because, again, many of you listen while you're commuting, you're at work, or maybe you're at the gym and so forth. You're doing things where you're not readily at a computer and you're going to say, let me send that email, let me type that comment on Facebook or send a tweet or whatever. But if we give you this survey, which works on mobile devices, on smartphones and on tablets and on desktops and laptops, and if we say, hey, can you take this 10-question survey, which will take 3 minutes of your time, you're more likely going to do the survey than the others, especially since the survey is very accessible. So most of the questions are checkboxes. You click on one and you're done. There is one where you rank things in order of preference from most to least liked, 1 to 5, where 1 is the most liked, 5 is the least liked. And there are only a couple that are open-ended where it's like, tell us what other podcasts you listen to, for example, and you got to type that in. But most of it, you just click, 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 and you're done. Now, I had originally wanted to do more than a 10-question survey. We're using something called SurveyMonkey. They're the people that the Great Wargaming Survey is done on. And we had wanted to do more than 10, but they make you pay for that. And with the quantity of surveys that we would do, not worth it to be able to get more than 10 questions. Why do we want more than 10? Well, really, I wanted it for a couple of things. One, I wanted to know if you would be willing to opt into a mailing list so that we could start up like an e-newsletter to send out every so often and to just kind of reconnect with you. And also, because I was hoping to do a giveaway as thanks to be like, hey, we'll give away, I don't know. But I didn't think of it because as soon as I saw that wasn't possible, I said, never mind. But maybe in the future we'll do it. When you do giveaways like that, you get more survey responses. And we've actually done really well. We're in the double digits of survey responses, but I'm honestly hoping to get at least 100 survey responses because that will really allow us to have a broader spectrum and a more likely chance of having a representative pool of people giving answers so that we can feel more comfortable, or I will anyway, in looking at the data and analyzing it and kind of seeing some trends for that. I will say that we will share some of the responses or the trends anyway, not individual responses. We're not going to share anything that will identify you but share the trend. So if we see that there's a lot of people who like answer B on question five, that because SurveyMonkey makes it easy, we can get a little chart and everything. We'll share that probably on social media. So you can be like, hey, look at this. This is really neat. And so we can actually pretty easily drill down into some of that kind of stuff. I like this sort of thing, and I really enjoy seeing all that kind of data. So it's neat. I know not all of you do, so I'm not going to go any deeper into it at this point. But really, all you need to know is that it'll help the show, and it won't cost you anything except for 3 minutes of your time to answer 10 questions by going to wargamingrecon.com/survey. Yes, the link will be in the show notes. We've already been promoting it on social media. And if you've already taken the survey, thank you very much. If you've already shared the survey, thank you very much. But if you haven't done either one, please take the survey. Please share the survey. So there we go. I want to take a moment to thank all of our Wargaming Recon Army members. You know who you are. And to remind everyone that we have the new changes here for the Wargaming Recon Army regarding the reward levels. We have a new episode coming out. Episode 205 will be here on April 9th, 2018. And you can check out the episode guide by going to the show notes at wargamingrecon.com/WR204. And that'll let you know what other episodes are coming up and what we know about them, whether there are guests and themes and all that kind of stuff. So please check that out. Now, you know the drill. No matter how busy you are, no matter what else is going on in your life, like trying to find new games to play or connect with people because you can't game with your usual gaming group, you know that you have to. You gotta. You need to. Keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon on your mobile device. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other good shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 18th through the 20th, 2018 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.